Good morning. Please join me for the reading of Exodus 1, 7 through 21. But the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and bricks and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiprah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. For those of you who don't know, I am recently returning from leave after birth of my daughter, Joy. Throughout my pregnancy, I received the phenomenal care of midwives through a local birthing and wellness center. The reason I chose midwifery care was because I wanted some kind of protection against the systemic harm that most often impacts women of color in our healthcare system today. While I know there are still risks that come with pregnancy beyond anyone's control, what I appreciated was the holistic care that aligned with my personal goals for birth. I didn't want to be among the countless number of women who have felt unseen and unheard by their healthcare provider. I participated in group care with other moms who were just as scared as I was. Our midwife facilitated the group and made sure that everyone was comfortable. We joked among ourselves and said that what happens in the group stays in the group. Whether in group care or individual appointments, I always had as much time as I needed to get my questions answered and my concerns explored. Our midwives really went above and beyond for us. They made themselves available for late night calls when we had no clue what we were experiencing and simply needed guidance on what to do in the moment, whether we should go to the hospital or simply CVS to pick up medications. Having that kind of accessibility helped to calm me and my husband's nerves and gave us a sense of reassurance about the best decision to make for our baby daughter at any given moment. I remember as we were approaching labor and I began experiencing contractions at home, the midwife provided recommendations for comfort measures I could use until I was ready to go to the hospital. My goal was to stay at home as long as I possibly could in a space that felt most comfortable to me. I remember reaching a point when the pain became excruciating, and we finally made the drive to the hospital, thank God. And during that drive, believe it or not, we actually got lost trying to find the right parking garage. Can you imagine what that car ride was like for this woman in labor? But thankfully, our midwife was available to answer our call yet again and guided us with exact instructions as if she were in the car with us. When we arrived, she met us at the entrance of the hospital with a wheelchair waiting to rescue me. During labor, she gave me plenty of massages and physical support that felt reassuring. I'm usually a hugger, but I remember needing a hug in that moment and feeling every bit of comfort from it. When I reached 10 centimeters dilated and it was time to push, I remember her instructions, but also especially her quiet presence. She didn't overwhelm me or crowd me, yet she gave me the assurance I needed for the grand moment that was to come. Reflecting on my experience, my appreciation for the midwives naturally led me back to the passage of scripture you just heard, Exodus 1, where we meet Shiphrah and Puah. And what I want you to notice is that these two women were not background characters in this story. They were, in fact, change agents vital to the demise of Pharaoh's plot. So vital, in fact, that Pharaoh came to them directly because he understood something that we sometimes forget, that the midwife holds the power of life in her hands. And it was in that communal impact that he wanted to poison. Pharaoh, who was trembling with fear, escalated the violence, commanding them to kill every Hebrew baby boy at birth. His plan was to erase the Israelite people entirely, to stop a future from happening, more specifically, one that would have decentered empire and required the even distribution of power. What stands out to me is that although the empire claims supremacy over the land, proclaiming to be all-powerful and mighty, they are terrified of the very people they oppress. And honestly, they have every right to be afraid because these are people whose strength and protection comes from God. What Pharaoh didn't know is that from this same lineage would come Moses, the deliverer who set the Israelites free from Egypt. And further down that same lineage, Jesus, the one who completely dismantled the system of spiritual dictatorship. And although Pharaoh was not aware of this future soon to come, he was determined to secure his kingdom by masquerading supremacy and evoking fear and intimidation upon the Israelite people. But despite whatever he did to project strength, it only revealed his insecurity. Because a kingdom that truly has power doesn't need to beg for constant validation, silence opposing voices, or feel threatened any time the spotlight shifts to include a different perspective, narrative, or history. We see the same spirit today in the elimination of DEI programs, the rewriting of textbooks, the dismantling of ethnic studies programs, police brutality and targeted surveillance of black neighborhoods, immigration enforcement that separates families and invades homes and privacy, the silencing of activists and liberal voices that oppose the powers that be, and the creation of policies designed to make it harder to vote. And yet we are still here. We still gather, we still organize, we still create, and we still resist. And when marginalized communities thrive and flourish in the face of all that, when we come together and make our voice heard and presence known, it is in times like these when we are perceived as a threat. And just as Pharaoh responded to the flourishing of the Israelites, so will our capitalist supremacist systems today. That is why there will always be a need for the midwives. Looking at scripture, we can see the bravery of Shiphrah and Puah, who feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, choosing to preserve identity, culture, and diversity, despite the danger it could have put them in. Sometimes resistance can feel intimidating, because what seems to be against us can feel greater than us. And I want to acknowledge that fear because it is very real. Even Shiphrah and Puah were afraid of the consequences they face, but still they chose to fear God more. And that reordering of fear, that shift in what holds power over you, is where joyful resistance is born. And if you'll notice, their resistance didn't have to be loud to be effective. It was unique to their calling, which was to be life givers. And that calling led to the devastation and deestablishment of an entire wicked kingdom. Thinking creatively about what the actions of midwives can look like today, sometimes it shows up in the most unexpected places. I'm reminded of Mattel introducing Barbie dolls that reflect diverse races, a range of body types, abilities, and neurodivergence. These additions are important because they allow kids to see themselves represented in the toys they play with every day. I'm also reminded that Mattel partnered in the creation of the Barbie movie, which shifted the narrative from a male-dominated world to a feminist power structure, even portraying a black woman as president. And I was proud to see Mattel celebrate Black history through the creation of the Opal Lee doll. This doll is very unique because it reminds us that it is never too late to make a change or a difference in the world. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a little bit of a Barbie fan, but what I love is that these all showcase joy and resistance. What's special about these examples is that they are reflected in toys, play, and imagination. To give a broader picture of what joyful resistance looks like, it is when you create beauty in a world filled with hate. It is when you choose to stand out despite the world wanting to box you in. And for everyone, it looks different. For some, it looks like purchasing books that have been banned, reading them aloud anyway, to share the stories and histories they tried to hide away. It looks like advocacy in the boardroom, starting with you being the one to ask the question, who's missing from the table, and pulling up a chair for them anyway. It looks like voting for candidates who actually represent you, not fearful of what the outcome may be, but knowing at least your voice was heard. It looks like opening a minority or woman-owned business, throwing open the doors that were once closed to you, and building something beautiful from the ground up. It looks like filling your home with art that reflects the beauty of mankind in all its shades, colors, faces, shapes, and stories, reminding your family every day that diversity is something worth celebrating. All of this is to say that joyful resistance is available to you in whatever shape, form, or fashion feels resonant to your personality, your passions, and your purpose. For me, joyful resistance looked like building a family in a society where Black identity and culture are constantly criticized. I chose to become pregnant with joy despite existing in a time filled with grief, political division, and cultural tension. To me, her name is prophetic, and so is her arrival. In alignment with my prayers, just one day after her due date, Joy was born on MLK Day, a day that was born out of great sacrifice for the development of a beloved community, a day that celebrates Black culture, faithful organizing, and collective resistance. And the message I feel God has given me is this: Joy is here, joy is growing, and one day, joy will change the world. Together, we'll embrace natural hairstyles, whether that's her curls, locks, or braids, or even her wearing her hair pressed straight, because every expression of her hair will be her choice and not according to anyone else's expectations of her. We'll celebrate Black History Month and Juneteenth as living reminders of the perseverance and sacrifice made by our ancestors who ensured joy could exist in this world and in this time. And we'll surround her with a community of people overflowing with love who will fiercely protect her and joyfully celebrate her in every part of who she is. And some might call this anti-racist parenting, but I call it raising joy. And none of it would be possible without the village that carried us here. I stand before you today with my daughter thriving because the midwives who entered into our lives. I want to take a moment to honor every midwife in this room and in our community. And when I say midwife, I mean anyone who has ever chosen to show up for life. The nurses who advocate for their patients when no one else would. The social workers who walk into broken systems on behalf of families who have no voice. The teachers who see potential in a child that the world has written off. The community organizers who show up faithfully without recognition or reward. The counselors, the mentors, the neighbors, the friends, everyone who has ever held life in their hands and chosen to protect it rather than bury it. You are Shipra, you are Pua, and because of you, our community gets to experience life, a life more abundantly. And for those of you still trying to figure out what your part looks like, that's okay. I shared my story today so that you could begin to imagine what this looks like for you in your own life. Because joy is a movement that never stops moving. So give yourself permission to sit with this question, how can I bring forth joy? And once you find that answer, start there. Because every time we choose to nurture what is good, what is just, and what is beautiful, we become a part of the amazing thing that God is doing in the earth. So let us be found choosing joy now and forevermore. Amen.